Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share. I hope everyone had a meaningful, is having a meaningful and uplifting week. So let's get right into our learning. We are learning the Zecher and Lulu Nishmas of Miriam Frond, Miriam Baschaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. May the Nishma merit a continuous aliyah in the Zechus of these Divrei Torah. And we continue to thank the Frond family very much for their generous sponsorship every week of the Divrei Torah, the Zecher Nishmas, their mother, Allah HaShalom. Should be a militzai yoshar for the entire family, for only besoros tovos and simchas. Her daughter just told me last week, it's approaching her yahrzeit actually at the end of the month. She told me that she'll tell me the date as we get closer, but as we come up to the yahrzeit, she should have a zechira letova and an aliyah letova. Okay, this is a very important class. Very important class. I'm going to begin by reviewing something that we spoke about last week. It's a review. I don't want any interruptions, please. No interruptions. I don't have time. I hope I'm going to get through, please God, all of my material, because the shiur has been developed from the beginning all the way through the end, and I don't want to keep anyone here for 2 hours. Okay. We don't need the sefer tonight, and we are learning. Oh, hello. And we are learning. We began last week. We didn't begin. Last week I quoted from Machzor Masoros Harav LeRosh Hashanah, if you remember, that we are sent here as an agent of the Creator. If you missed it, you could go online and listen. I'm going to review it more quickly without my commentary, just to set the stage for the Shir, and there is a reason that I'm repeating this. Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav, says, every Jew was sent to earth as an agent of the Creator. When one sins, he violates God's will. He also violates the term of his own assignment. This is review, I know. In halacha, a person's status as an agent disappears the moment the sender wishes to terminate the agent's mission. Similarly, a person exists on earth only as long as he pursues the mission assigned by his sender. How can God, infinite God, I'm just saying it in shorter form because I want to get through this piece, but how can infinite God appoint flesh and blood, temporal man, as his agent? Says the Rav, how can weak, finite man possibly act as agent of the infinite Creator? There is no sound resolution to this question, but the imperative is man accepts that his assignment remains. You have an assignment. I have an assignment. Every single one of us has an assignment. When you act as an agent on behalf of another, the well-known Talmudic dictum, Shlucho Shal Adam Kemoso, the agent of a person is like the person himself. Since we are agents of God and we're created in the image of God, we are likened to the sender. It is as if, so to speak, we are godly. Not so to speak, we are godly. Shlucho Shal Adam Kemoso. This is very important for tonight's year specifically. In order to better direct our individual talents and strengths towards carrying out our assignments, we were predestined to live in a specific time and place. In order to carry out, to better direct our individual talents and strengths to carry out our assignment, we were predestined to live in a specific time and place. Hashem knows under which circumstances, in which community, in which time we will have the ability to accomplish our assignment. If it is a tnai she'i afshar l'kaimo, if it's impossible for me to fulfill, then the appointment will be legally invalid. But since God appoints an agent, by definition, it means you're endowed with the ability to act in your assigned capacity. Quote, the time and place in which each individual appears on earth was then designated to allow him the best conditions in which to fulfill his particular assignment. This is chazara of what we learned last week. The time and place and the circumstances in which community, in which you can best fulfill your assignment, is where God put you. If he would have put you in a different time, then if he put you in this time, then and you can't fulfill your assignment, then it's a tnai she'yafshar l'kaimo. By definition, if you live today, then you can fulfill your assignment because your tnai is not legally invalid. The time and place in which each individual appears on earth is designated to allow him the best conditions in which to fulfill his particular assignment. If anyone's interested, it's Machzor Masoros HaRav Rosh Hashanah. The full quote can be seen on page 342. We said that last week. Last week, I referenced two sources in the book of Devarim that tell us you only have the Shofet Shebiyamecha and you only have the Kohen Shebiyamecha. You only have related to the piece of the Rav. Last time, I referenced two pieces from Sefer Devarim, one from Parsha Shoftim and one from Parshas Kisavo, where we see proof that you can only work with what you have in your time. I'm going to now quote the Pesukim more precisely, as well as commentary to these Pesukim. Okay? So we have established that if I live in this day and age, this is when I can best fulfill my mission. Otherwise, it's a t'nai she'yef shalakaimo, and there's no t'nai she'yef shalakaimo if God is the sender. It's not possible that it's impossible to fulfill my mission. So I live when he put me to live. The community, the time, the place, everything I need is maximized by where I live and when I live. Okay? The pasuk tells us in Parsha Shoftim. Okay, I'm in Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Ches. Just want to make sure you know I'm a little neurotic about my recorder. Yes, Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Ches. Okay, I'm in Parsha Shoftim. Shoftim means judges. Ki yipale mimcha davar lemishpat. Like a pella is the word wonder. If something is a wonder for you in judgment, meaning it's beyond you, you don't know the answer. Bein dam ledam, between blood to blood. Bein din ledin, between judgment to judgment. Bein nega lenega, between affliction to affliction. Divrei rivos b'sha'aracha, words of quarrel in your gates, which means in your city. So what should you do? You have a machlokas. Bein din ledin, bein dam ledam, between blood to blood. So Rashi says, bein dam tame ledam tahar. Is the blood, I don't know, the woman sees blood. Is it pure, is it impure? The judges aren't sure. She goes to her posik and he says, you know, I'm not sure. I have to consult with the Gadol Dar on this psak. Okay? And Rashi says, ki pali mimcha, the matter is a pella for you, a wonder for you. So Rashi says, what does it mean? Havdala ufrisha, separation and set apart from you. The thing is separated and concealed from you. So you have a shayla bein dam ladam. Is this tahar blood or tami blood? I don't know, you're not sure. Bein din ledin. Bein din zakai, the din chayav, is it a verdict of innocence or a verdict of guilt? The lower courts do not know. Ubein nega lenega, bein nega tame, ubein lenega tahar, is this nega affliction? When it comes to nega tsaras, the coin has to check. Sometimes it's tame and sometimes it's tahar. Sometimes it's tar and it's not tsaras. It's an old scar, let's say, from an old burn, okay, in Tzriya Mitzora. So then it is not a nega tame. So you're not sure, bein dam ladam, bein din ledin, bein lega the nega. You don't know if it's tame or tahar. Divrei rivos. So what does it mean, words of quarrel? So Rashi says, Shiyu chachmei ha'ir cholkin bedavar. The leaders of the city, the chachmei ha'ir, the wise people of the city, have a machlokas. So some will say tahar, and some will say tamei. Zeh mitamei, v'zeh mitar. So some look at the blood, some look at the nega, and they say, oh, tahar. And then some look, and they say tamei. Zeh mechayev, v'zeh mezaka. This one says he's chayev, he's guilty. And this one says he's zaka, he's pure, he's innocent. So what should you do? You have these chachamim and that chachamim. We're not talking about reform rabbis and orthodox rabbis. You're talking about the chachamim of the city, and they don't know what to do. What should he do? Come to Alisa al Hamakom Asher Yivchar Shem El Kechabah. You should go to the base in Agadol, the Sanhedrin Agadol. Where do they sit? In the Lishkas Hagazis, in Yerushalayim, in the base of Mikdash, and the Heichal. That's where you should go. Because now you're going to the Supreme Court. Because nobody knows in the city what to do. And then the Pasuk says, Yudzayin, this is... You have to wait till the end. I say no interruptions. I'm interrupting myself. Yud Zayin Tes Uvas Ela Kohen Halavim Ela Shofir Asher Yeh Biyamim Heim. You come to the Kohen, you come to the Levite, you come to the judge that will be in that day. V'darashta, you do a drisha, an investigation, you inquire. V'higidu lecha eis dvar hamishpa, and the Beis Din HaGadol will tell you the answer. So there's a big kasha, which I referenced this last week, but I didn't tell you the pasuk exactly inside. What's the big kasha? Uvas alakoyim halavim v'alashofet esher yabiyam imahem. What's the kasha? What, are you taking a time capsule and going back to the Kohen and the Shofet and the Levi lived 200 years ago? Obviously, you're going to the rulers who live in that day. Why not? Because we haven't yet figured out how to go back in time and forward in time. So obviously I'm going to whoever lives in that day. So Rashi Taka says, very famous Rashi, Afilu Einu Kishar Shoftim, even if he's not like the other Shoftim, Shahayu Lefanov, who came before him, Atat Tzarich Lishmolo, what do you need to do? He's your posek. Listen, whatever my Rav tells you, sometimes I ask a Shaila and I say to the kids, when I get to the Beis Din Shamala, I'm not accountable for this halacha. You understand that, you don't understand that, it doesn't matter. If the Rav told me that this is the Psak and I ask my Rav, then this is the Psak halacha. Now, if you don't ask and you decide on your own and it's a real shy, then that's not my business. But if you ask, so I'm not saying I'm sending a letter to the Chassam Sofer, why not? Because you can't do that. You got to ask who you have today. So Rashi says very famous words, Einecha elo shofet shebiyamecha. Who do you have? Only the judge who lives when? Hello? In your time. So you have to respect him. It doesn't need to say Asher Yeh B'yamim Haim. It could just say God who the Beis Din HaGadol, God of the Kohanim, God of the leaders, God of the teachers, and the Lishkas HaGazis, God of the Beis HaMikdash. Ask them, maybe the Urim V'Turim will light up. I'll pee the Kohen, and I'll tell you, Dam Tame, Dam Tahar, Nega Tame, Nega Tahar. The words, and I stress this all the time, no superfluous words in Chumash. No superfluous words in Chumash. So you really don't need a Sher Yabi Yamei Mehem, unless the Torah is coming to darshan a lesson, the Torah is coming to teach you. Ein Lecha Ala Shofet Shebi Amecha. You only have the Shofet who's in your day. Even if he's not like the other judges that came before him, atat sarich lishmolo. So you ask a shayla of your rav today, and then you say, oh, you know, maybe 500 years ago this was the psak. That's totally irrelevant. This is your rav who you have today. And you have to listen to the psak he gives you today. I'm now going to quote Rav Shamsher Falhurst, the great Rav Shamsher Falhurst, Chusei Yalgein Aleinu, on this pasuk. Okay? He fought mightily against the Maskilim. He lived in Germany. He died in 1888. And he fought mightily against the Maskilim, the reformists. Some of the words Seichel. They were enlightened. They used their wisdom to what? Throw off the yoke of Torah. So Rav Shamsher Falhurst says, from the addition of the words Asher Yeh B'Yamei Mehem, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Chaf Hei Beis, which I did not look up. I have a different Gemara, which I'm going to be quoting soon. But Rav Hirsch quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The sages derive a major principle. I'm quoting Rav Hirsch. In every generation, quote, one must accept the authority of the eminent Torah leaders qualified by their knowledge and fear of God to be teachers of Torah. Remember, you have to keep in mind when you learn his writings and his teachings that he's speaking in a time of great reformation, not in a positive way. So a lot of it is Musar, and he really works very mightily to protect the truth of Torah. In every generation, one must accept the authority of the eminent Torah leaders, qualified by their knowledge and fear of God, to be the teachers of Torah. In every generation. And one must obey them, even if in intellectual and moral stature they fall short of the authorities of the past. So it's true. Today, we don't have a Chafetz Chaim. It's true. Today, we don't have a Rabbi Akiva Eiger. It's true. Today, we don't have a Rambam. It's true. The Rambam was the master of Halacha. He gave us Mishnah Torah. It's a codification of Jewish law, but he doesn't live today. So today, the Rabbanim will look up the Halacha and then paskin based on your individual situation. Even if they fall short in intellectual and moral stature of authority of the past, one must obey them. They are teachers of Torah. On this verse, it's Devarim Yud Zayin Tess. The sages say Maseches Rosh Hashanah, quote, V'chisa'ala al datcha she'adam holeich etzah hadayan shelo haya biyamav. He's quoting the Gemara. The kasha of the Gemara on this pasuk is V'chisa'ala al datcha, would it enter your mind she'adam holeich etzah hadayan, that a person will go to a judge shelo haya biyamav, who is not in his days, ha einecha leleich ela etzah shofet she'biyamecha. Rashi just gives us a short form. The Gemara says, who would think that you're going to go to a shofet who lives in a different time? Obviously, you're going to go to who lives in whoever your time, and that's who you have to give kavod to. Why? Because he lives in your time. You live in your time. We began with a piece by the Rav. The Rav said very clearly, befeirish, that the time, place, community, where you live, where you were predestined to live, helps you best direct your individual talents and strength towards carrying out your assignment. Hashem knows which circumstances, at what time, in which community you can best accomplish your tafkid. It is not Naisha Iyaf Shalakaimo. Otherwise, God would not have put you here at this time. The time when you live is the best time to be you. Continues Rav Hirsch. In the Sifrei, this statement is formulated as follows. Sifrei is a Madrash on Devarim, I think Bamidbar on Devarim. V'chisa'ala al datcha she'adam holeich etzel shofei shelo nimtza b'yamev. When it enters your mind, says the Sifrei, that a man would go to a judge who's not in his days. Ela ma talmud lomar. What does the Chumash mean when it says, ela shofei asher yeh b'yamim ahim, to the judge who's in that days. Ela shofei shehu kasher u'michuzak ba'osen hayamim. You find a kosher shofei, so that means you have to ask a proper halachic authority. Okay? Don't paskin something from what you saw on Google. I would not say that that is a kosher mechuzak in your day, Rav. But if you got a Rav in your day who's kosher, a mechuzak, straight from the word chazak, ba'osan hayamim, that's who you should find. Ala shofet should be a mecha, shofet should kasher, mechuzak ba'osan hayamim. He's a kosher shofet, he's a mechuzak, he's a strong shofet in your days. Even if he's not like who hadn't passed, you have to respect him. Okay. A second time in Devarim, we have something very similar, which I referenced last time also. Now I'm going to Devarim Kisavo, Perachavav. Perachavav of Kisavo is the Maisa Bikurim. We read the Maisa Bikurim, the Mikra Bikurim, not only Parshas Kisavo, but also on Leah HaSeder. The crux of the Pesach Haggadah actually comes from Bikurim, the Mikra Bikurim that the farmer brings when he brings his first fruits. V'haya Kisavo ala ha'aretz asher Hashem elkecha nosei necha nachala v'yirishta v'yishafta. But such a beautiful mitzvah it will be when you come to the land that Hashem and God gives you as an inheritance. You take possession of the land, you dwell in the land. So Rashi says, oh, what do you learn from here? Shaloni schayvu b'bikurim ad shekavshu etz ha'aretz v'chilkuha. Bikurim didn't stop the minute they crossed into Eretz Yisrael. It started after Kibush Haaretz and Chiluk Haaretz. First, you conquered the land, then you divided the land. Makes sense. Hashem doesn't give you a mitzvah you can't fulfill. If the whole nation's busy with wars, they don't have time to be farming. Who's counting what year my tree is, and who has time to go into the field and say this is the first fig? They don't have the land yet. They haven't conquered the land. After they conquer the land, then they need a portion of land. Only once you know which is your land, could you say, this is my tree. Now it can designate Bikurim. So Bikurim only begins at the time after you conquer it. Fight for the land, conquer the land, the portion of land. Okay, so what should you do? You will take from the first of the fruit of the land, Rashi says, befamish from the Shivat HaMinim. You're not talking about tomatoes and Jaffa oranges and grapefruits and lamins. No, from the Shivat HaMinim that you bring from your land that Hashem your God gives you. Basanta batana, you should put it into your basket. Just like by the Shoftim. Do you remember it said, if you have a reeve, bein din ledin, bein dom ledom, bein nega lenega. So what did it say? You should go to the place, asher, Bachar Hashem l'shakin shmosham. So here also, you should go to the place that Hashem God has chosen to dwell his place. Uvasa ela kohen asher yeh b'yamim ahim. What does it mean? You will come to the priest who lives in those days. Gee, when have I seen this before? I saw this lashon in Parsha Shoftim. Perek Yitzayin, Pasuk Tes tells me the same thing. Now it's a different case. There I'm asking a shayla. You know, sometimes you might ask your Rav a Shaila, and the Rav says, if he's an honest Rav, now if he's a Gadol Dor, or he's one of the Poskei, then he probably might not say this, but sometimes it happens that you could ask a Shaila, and the Rav says, I don't know, I need to consult with my Rabbanim, I need to consult with my Gadolim. It's not a sign of a weakness, it's a sign of godless. They're not trying to give a psak halacha that they're not well versed in. So they'll say, I had a Shaila, did I tell you my Shaila a few weeks ago? It was Erev Chol HaMoed Sukkos. We had, Baruch Hashem, a lot of company over the Yamim Tovim. And I'm braiding my challah Thursday night, and I was going to do overnight rising in the fridge. It was a whole sag. I was so tired and whatever. And I see there's like brown specks in the dough when I'm braiding it. I'm making challah for like 20 years. So if it was the first time I ever made challah, I'm not sure what dough looks like, okay? But if you're making challah for a very long time, you know what your dough usually looks like. I make Rebbetzin Kanievsky Alal Sham recipe. I've been making it now for 20 years, but for many years, I don't know, 10 years, something was strange. So I put it in the fridge to overnight. So I was already so tired. Wednesday, Chol HaMoed, I worked the whole day, like preparing shirim. I once asked a shayla, I told it's no problem, it's divrei Torah, it's not considered work. Thursday, I mamish cooked the whole day. The kids were doing hikes, whatever. I was working one day of Chol HaMoed, that was my Chol HaMoed trip. And the next day, I was cooking the whole day. And then it's so late, and one of the kids says, Mom, you're putting up challah now. So I said, I just have to do this overnight rising, which I never do. So in the morning, it's ready to bake, because I really have so much to do. Can I know how? And I saw when I'm braiding it, it looks like there's like specks in it. So I put it in the fridge, and then it's the morning, and I'm looking at this challah, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. So I text Rabbi Shaish, no, I called Rabbi Tzimrina Schechter, and I said, I don't know, there's something in my challah, I'm not sure what this is, could I bring it over and, you know, show you? So she said, I'm in the grocery, I'll let you know when I get home. So about a half hour later, and I made a neder, a kabbalah, that I was not taking my phone into the sukkah at all. And Baruch Hashem, I spent a lot of time in the sukkah now when I was cooking because I couldn't take my kitchen into the sukkah. But it happens to be that Friday morning, I did take my phone into the sukkah because I was so nervous about the shayla, and it's getting later, and I don't have challah, and it's like 10 o'clock. So anyway, around 9:30, I get a message from Rabbi Shai Schechter, a voice note, saying, I don't know anything about this. You can't bring it over and show me. It's not going to help to show me. You have to ask someone who knows about kasher. So my point is that here he said, I don't know. So I wrote back, well, what am I supposed to do? He says, I have no idea. I can't guide you. Okay, my Rav doesn't know what I'm supposed to do with the challah. And it's Erev Sukkos and I'm barked on me in so much comedy. So then I realized my sister that actually suggested it. Sometimes I ask certain shaylas before I had a Rabbanus Kasher with Rabbi Shai Schechter, I used to ask Rabbi Naftali Weitz. I've quoted him before. My Shailas. So my sister-in-law said, ask Rabbi Weitz. So I said, oh, that's a great idea. You're right. I don't know why I didn't think of it, because I still continue to ask him certain Shailas. So I texted Rabbi Weitz, and there was no answer. It was 10 o'clock. So I said, he's Hasidish. He's probably still Chachris. So what am I supposed to do is Challah? And also, no, I'm being serious. And my husband said, you're right. And it's rising and rising and rising. And the dough was going to be ruined. I had to get it into the oven, but I didn't know what to do. So then I tried calling. The phone's with me because I was really didn't know what to do about this challah. It also really made me feel milka amcha Yisrael. Like, you know, I said to myself, like, if the challah is not good, I accept it totally, Hashem. I will throw it in the garbage, b'simcha, if I can't use it. So Baruch Hashem, he called me back around 10:30, and he said, you could bring over the challah. I sometimes have to go to his house, whatever. I have Baruch Hashem Akashi. He's a tremendous, it's a tremendous person. So I take these two challahs, I said, I'm coming, I run out of the house. You know, like who else besides for from Yidden, you know, run to the rabbi with two challahs. And he opens the blinds in his study, which is where the light streams in, and he goes upstairs to get a magnifying glass. And we're looking and looking and looking at the challah, and he's examining. I really thought that one of my favorite parts of the story is Mika Amcha Yisrael, because it's so beautiful to adhere to halacha. And I said before I left Hashem, I am fully prepared to throw out. Oh, also I had a last-minute Shir Simchas Torah, which I had to prepare for, which I only found out. Plus, I was having a lot of Kambi B'Shalas Chalamayit and second days. I said, Hashem, if I have to throw out the challah, I don't have time to make another batch. It's going to have to be bakery, but I'm going to throw it out B'Simcha. So he's looking at it in the magnifying glass, in the light of the daylight. He takes a piece of dough. We're looking at the brand. I thought, imagine like what this looks like. It's amazing. So he said, this is not bugs. He said, it's absolutely not bugs. He said, it looks like bran, because I use white whole wheat flour when I'm baking cookies or muffins. I said to him, it looks like white whole wheat flour. He asked me what brand it is, because there was a recall on a certain brand. He said, Gourmet Glot just took a certain brand off their shelves for a recall. I said, no, it's not that brand. He said, it's definitely not bugs. This challah is totally fine. He said, it looks like it's bran. It looked like white whole wheat flour. Okay, Baruch Hashem, the challah was totally fine, and we ate it. The point of the story is twofold. One, let's say, I believe that if he couldn't have done it, he would have told me, I can't do it. Let's say by some chance it was bugs, which it wasn't. But when I get up to Shemayim, I'm going to be accountable for a lot of things. I'm not going to be accountable for that challah, because my Rav said, it's kosher. Second of all, Rabbi Shai Schechter said to me, I can't help you. I don't know. I can't help you. So we have to show respect for our Rabbanim who live in this day and age. I don't live in the time of the Rambam. So what should I do? I have to ask only who lives in my day and age, and I have to show them the respect. So when you come with your Bikurim, Uvas alakoin asher ye biyamim ahim, einuchav alakoin should be amecha kimoshahu. Kimoshahu. Einuchav alakoin should be amecha kimoshahu. You only have, you can't say, what do you mean you don't know? You can't say, well, so-and-so, I don't know, this is now. Enochal, a coin should be a mecha. You only have that coin, kimon shehu, as he is. So therefore it says, enochal, a coin should be a mecha. Okay. I'm going back to Rav Shamsher and Fal Hirsch. So we've seen Shoftim and Kisava. What does Rav Shamsher and Fal Hirsch have to say? He also comments on this from Bikurim, the coin that you have in your day. Uvas ala coin asher ye biyamimim, because it seems superfluous. The Chumash could just say, you will come to the coin. Why does it have to say you're bringing your first fruits to the kohen in that day? Obviously, I'm not bringing my first fruits to Aaron. He's dead. He didn't even enter Eretz Yisrael. I can't bring him first fruits. There's a mitzvah to Yaba Aretz. So, again, Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch begins by quoting the Sifrei. V'chi alsa al datcha shetelich etz ha-kohen shalo haya b'yamecha. Would it enter your mind that you would go to a kohen who is not in your days? El ha-kohen shu kasher. It should be a kosher kohen. Doesn't say he should be a Moshe Rabbeinu. He should be a kosher kohen. V'chein hu omer. Now he quotes Kohelas. He's still quoting the Sifrei. The Sifrei quotes a pasuk from Kohelas. Al tomer mehaya shehayamim harishonim hayu tovim me'ele. Al tomer, says Kohelas. We read this on Sukkot. Talking about mechalas on Sukkot and Shabbos Chol Moed. That's when we read Kohelas. Al tomer, you should not say mehaya. What happened? Shehayamim harishonim hayu tovim me'ela. A different generation was so much better than this. You should not say this. According to the Sifri, says Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, the expression asher yeh biyamim ahim, the leader who will be in that generation, teaches that the lesser worthiness of the coin today, lower madriga, compared to the Kohanim of earlier times, should not be a deterrent to bringing your bikkurim to the sanctuary. So we acknowledge that there's something called Yeridus Hadoros, and different leaders are different in different generations. They say Rav Chaim Kanievsky was not from this door. He wasn't from this generation. Hashem put him here. It was a tremendous matana that he was in this generation. So long as the coin is kosher and represents the demands of the law, so long as he is kosher, he represents the demand of law. What is the demand of law? Listens to the word of God. The coin is kosher. He listens to the word of God. And coming to God's sanctuary, quote, we do not turn to the Kohen and respect his individual personality. When you come to the Kohen, you don't turn to that Kohen for his individual personality. We turn to him for his symbolic character as representative and servant of the sanctuary. He represents the Kohuna. He is a servant of God. I come to him. This character has been given to him by God from the moment of his birth. Isn't that what Rav Soloveitchik says? From the moment of a person's birth, they have a certain character, talents, abilities. They're put in a certain time into which best to fulfill. As long as he is kasher, worthy of his character, and not disqualified by sin. If he's disqualified by sin, that's a totally different story. But as long as he's kasher and not disqualified by sin, you have to remember everything I'm saying tonight for the end of Shir. You have to remember everything. We turn to him as a representative of God's sanctuary in our midst. He represents God in our midst. He might not be the biggest tzaddik that ever walked the face of the earth, but he represents our time, our age. He represents God's sanctuary in our midst. And we bring to him the first fruits of the land. And therefore, for this is the purpose of Bikurim, the first fruits, as implied by the declaration that follows. They're meant to connect every present time down to the last generation, to the ancient past of our nationhood. It's a connection from the past. Remember, what does he say in the Mikra Bikurim? He begins all the way by Arami Oved Avi, Vayered Mitzrayma, Vayagosham Bimsei Ma'at. It's a journey through history. We start by Lavan. We're going to be up to him soon in the parashas. We start by Lavan. Then we go down to Egypt. Vayanunu, Vayitnu Aleinu Vodakasha, Vanitzek Alashem Elokei Aviseinu. The less the present conforms to the ideal requirements of this calling, the more the disparity is evident in the personalities of the Kohanim of this present. One second. The more this disparity is evident in the personalities of the Kohen in the present, the more important it is to bring them Bikurim and express this explanation and acknowledgement. In other words, the lower he is, as long as he is kasher, the more important it is to come to him, because you keep the whole nation united and linked to the past. The Kohen, no less than the bringer is the guy who's bringing his fruits, the Kohen must remember the historical past on which the present rests and from which the present shall draw its mission. Therefore, Asher Yeh B'yamei Mahem is more similar as applied to the judge, and he references Parsha Shoftim, where we were. Okay? Good? I don't want any interruptions, please. But I think everything should be clear. Is everything clear? Okay. Before I go to the next source, I'm going to tell you again, to sum this part up, what Rav Soloveitchik says. Every Jew is sent to earth as an agent of the Creator. I'm skipping. In order to better direct our individual talents and strengths towards carrying out our assignments, we were predestined to live in a specific time and place. And the Rabbanim of that time and the leaders of that time are destined to live in that time with you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in this time, or they wouldn't be in this time. Hashem knows under which circumstances, in which time, in which community, including your leaders, one will have the ability to accomplish his assignment. Okay? So I was meant to be here today, running around with my challahs on Friday at 10:30 in the morning, every Chol HaMoed, trying to figure out what to do with them. If it was an assignment that was impossible to accomplish, it would be called Tnai She'ev Sharlakaimo, and it would be legally invalid. But if God put you in your time, it cannot be by definition Tnai She'ev Sharlakaimo, because God knows what he's doing. God doesn't make mistakes, not like us. Sometimes I could give a condition that's E'ev Sharlakaimo. That doesn't happen by the Ribbono Shel Olam. If God appoints an agent, the agent must, by definition, is endowed with the ability to act in a assigned capacity. The time and place in which every individual appears on earth was designated to allow him the best conditions in which to fulfill his particular assignment. And then we went to seeing that this applies not only to us, but also to our leaders. Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tes, Parsha Shoftim. Uvashal HaKoin, HaLevim, HaShoftim, Asher Yabiyam Imahim, and in Mikra Bikurim. Perachav Pasuk Gimel? Yeah, Perachav Pasuk Gimel. Now I go to the Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra, Tes Vav Amad Beis. Okay, listen. I have not learned through Sefer Iyov. So the Gemara is now expanding on Pesukim from Sefer Iyov. Please don't ask me in depth. We know that Iyov had a lot. He had children, he had flocks, he had a business, he had a home. The Satan is Mekatrig, and the Satan says that if you take everything away, Iyov will not be faithful. Iyov suffers the worst, Rachmana Litzlan, tragedy is impossible. His business is lost, his home, all of his children die, and he remains devoted to God. I have not learned through the Sefer, unfortunately. Don't ask me any more questions than that. But listen to what the Gemara says here. Okay, the Psukim say in Iyov, ready? Vayihi Hayom, the Gemara begins by quoting this Pasuk. It's Iyov Perak Aleph, Psukim Vav through Zayin, if you want to look it up. Iyov Perak Aleph, Psukim Vav through Zayin, you could go look it up. The Psukim are Vayihi Hayom, it was that day. Vayavu Bnei HaElokim Lihit Yatsev Al Hashem. The sons of God, which is a reference to the Malachim, came to stand before God. Vayavo gam hasatan bitocham. It was on that day. The sons of God come to stand before Hashem. So we're talking about something going on where? In the Beis Din Shalmala. And the Satan also comes. Vayomer Hashem al hasatan. And Hashem says to the Satan, Me'ayin tavo, where have you come from? Vayan hasatan es Hashem vayomer. And the Satan answers Hashem and he says, Mishut ba'aretz u'mitalach ba. I was journeying through the earth. I was exploring the earth and wandering the earth. Okay? Those are the two psukim from Iyov that the Gemara is going to now expound upon. Parak Aleph, psukim Vav through Zayin. It is the day, Hayom, the Malachim and the Satan come before Hashem. Hashem says to the Satan, where were you? And he says, I was taking a journey through earth. Okay, let's go to the Gemara. Bava Basra, Tes Vav Amad Beis. Here we go. The Gemara begins by quoting this pasuk. Vayihi hayom, it was that day. Which day? It doesn't say vayihi yom. It says vayihi, oh, very good. So what does the hey hayidi indicate? It has to be some, we're talking about some specific day. You're not talking about any random day on the calendar year of the 352, 354, depending on the lunar cycle of the Jewish calendar year. We're talking about a specific day. Which day? Rosh Hashanah, the day of judgment. It was the Yom Hadin. Vayihi Hayom. It's the day of Rosh Hashanah. Vayivo Bnei HaElokim. Lihit Yatsev Al Hashem. So the Malachim come out of the Malachim. Therefore, hopefully, there to say, these are all of your mitzvos. These are all of your zechuyos. These are all of your merits. Who else comes? Vayavo Gam HaSatan B'tocham. The guy who is the prosecutor also comes. All of your exes come also. Vayomer Hashem al Satan, and Hashem says to the Satan, the Futzkot says the Satan is the angel whose duty it is to be the accuser in the heavenly court. We know that, okay? It's represented by the Yetzer Hara down here. The same entity that entices people to sin here, the Yetzer Hara, accuses them in the divine court, Satan. So Satan is in the Olam HaEmes, the Olam Haba, Olam HaMala, and the Yetzer Hara is down here. So Hashem, Vayomer Hashem al Satan, Me'ayin Tavo, where are you coming from? Vayan HaSatan, and the Satan says, Mishut Ba'aretz, I was exploring the earth, U'mitalech Ba, I was walking on the earth. I was really, really smiling when I was preparing Shiva, because sometimes I really just see these, I don't want to say Anashika from Hashem, that sounds like a tremendous Gaivadic thing to say. A haskama from Hashem, because the next thing the Gemara is going to do is quote Parshas Lech Lecha. And I just thought, like, what are the chances of this happening? Because this week's Parshas Lech Lecha. The Satan says, I was mithaleich ba'aretz. Ah, so the Gemara says, mishaleich. Wow, who is commanded kum hishaleich ba'aretz? Ah, the arko l'rach ba'atnena. Kum hishaleich ba'aretz. The Satan says, I was mishaleich ba'aretz. So the Gemara says, oh, this is an allusion to Avram Avinu. Amar lefanav, the Satan said before God, Ribono sha'olam, master of the world, shatatati b'chol ha'olam kulo, I explored the entire world. I found no one loyal as your servant Avram. Sha'amarto, you said to him, it's Parshas Lechecha, Perek Yud Gimel, Kum, get up, Hishalich Ba'aretz, walk the land, La'arka, to the Orech, the length, Ularachba, the Rachav, the width, Kiluchart, Nana, I will give it to you, Mamash, this week's Parsha. Look, I wrote, I take notes when I'm writing, I wrote, Lechecha, couldn't believe it, it's Parshas Lechecha. And yet, when Avram, the Satan continues, when Avram was unable to find a place to bury his wife, he skips ahead to Perachav Gimel, okay? Likbar at Sarah, when he couldn't find a place to bury his wife, Achakana ba'arba meo shekel kasev, until he bought it for 400 pieces of silver shekel, lo hir her achar midosecha. He wasn't suspicious after you. Avram didn't say, what are you doing, God? You told me this land is mine. Would you imagine if you had to pay 400 silver shekel over the shachar to enter your dining room? It's my dining room. Why do I have to pay 400 silver shekel to go into my dining room? Hashem said, this is your land. I'm going to give you land. So Avram should be able to bury his wife where? Wherever he wants in the land. It's my, I have to pay you 400 silvers. It's a fortune of money. But Avram didn't ask kashas. What's the kash on this Gemara? This is the Satan. The Satan's the Mekatrig. He's the prosecutor. It doesn't sound like a prosecution. What's he saying? I walked the whole earth. I found no one as great as Avram, because the pasuk in Eov says that what was the Satan doing? Mishalechba. He's saying a stroll. Oh, and because the pasuk says in Perek Yud Gimel, Avaricious, pasuk Yud Zayin, this week's parasha, this week's sedra, lachacha, kum hishalechba aratz, la'arko ulerachba, ki lichal azarecha etnena. It must be that the Satan in his explorations looked and he found Avram Avinu. He said, I found no one on earth as righteous as Avram Avinu. How do I know he's so righteous? Because when he had to pay a fortune of money to bury his wife, which is ridiculous because it's his land, he didn't question you. That's the Gemara. So how do we understand the Gemara? And that's the words of the Satan. Okay. I now quote from Rav Pam Zatzal, Rav Avram HaKohen Pam Zatzal, from Yeshiva Torah Vadas, one of our Gedolim, Rashi Yeshiva's leaders of the last generation. He's quoting on Parsha Shoftim. We were in Parsha Shoftim. Remember, Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Tes, Ein Lecha Ela Shofet Shebi'amecha. Rashi quotes the Gemara. The words, the shofet, the judge who will be in your days, come to teach you a major principle. Remember, we quoted the Chumash, we quoted the Rashi, we quoted Rav Hirsch, we quoted the Rav. Even if the present-day Dayan, judge, is not equal in knowledge, righteousness, judicious skills, to his counterpart in a different generation, you must still listen and honor his decision. You've given examples. I've given you concrete examples of a personal shy that I am. This is because you have no one else but the judge who will be in those days. So you can't say, oh, why isn't my rabbi, the Chassam Sofer? He's just not. It is unfortunate, continues Rav Pam, that there are firm Jews who refuse to present their arguments to a Beis Din when they become embroiled in a monetary dispute with other Jews. Instead, they go to a secular court. When they are asked, why did you go to a secular court? They reply, the Dayanim in today's Batei Din, the judges in today's Jewish courts, leave so much to be desired. What do they know? They're not the same Torah caliber as great Talmidei Chachamim of different generations. If those Gedolim, those great ones, would be our Dayanim, we would certainly go to them. But the present day judges, how can we rely on them? How tragic it is to hear such blasphemous remarks emerging from the mouth of a frum Jew. Nor are these types of biting derogatory words new. The psukim in Eov, Rav Pam now quotes his psukim from Eov, say, it happened one day, the angels came to stand before Hashem, and the Satan too came amongst them. Hashem said to the Satan, from where have you come? And the Satan said, I was exploring and wandering the whole earth. The Gemara says, the Satan was saying, Ribono Shalom, I explored the entire world. I found no one as loyal as Avram Avidu. The proof is the pasuk from Lechecha kum hishalech ba'aretz. The commentators note something puzzling here about the Satan's presentation in the heavenly court. This one day, Vayhi Hayom, was Rosh Hashanah. The Satan is flying around the world. He's evaluating the deeds of mankind in judgment. He was preparing to fulfill his eternal task. He's not doing anything wrong. He's the accuser of mankind. He always attempts to find faults and shortcomings. Is it not strange to hear such a complimentary remark emerge from his mouth? He's praising the holiness and righteousness of Avram Avinu. He says, I have not found anyone as loyal as Avram Avinu. Oh, wait, that's not the Gemara.
second.
The lashon of the Gemara is the Satan says to Hashem, Ribono sha'olam, shatiti b'chol ha'olam kulo, v'lo matzati ne'eman ka'avdecha Avram. Okay, I found no one is faithful, no one is trustworthy, no one is believing, no one is honest, no one is great as Avram Avinu. Is it not strange to hear that on the day of judgment, when his job is to act as the accuser, he's praising Avram? The answer must be, remember this is Rav Pam on Parsha Shoftim, the Sefer that I say it's called Avar from Rav Pam, compiled by Rabbi Shalom Smith, Art School Masorah. The answer must be, this is characteristic of the Satan. He praises the tzaddikim who have passed away in order to denigrate those of lesser stature who are still alive. First he says, I walked and explored the whole earth. I found no one as righteous as Avram Avinu. So what he's really doing is not complimenting Avram, insulting everyone else. He is denigrating the tzaddikim of lesser, they are of lesser stature. We have something called the Yerida Sodaros who are still alive. To this remark, Hashem says to the Satan, the next pasuk is verse 8, did you take note of my servant Eov? There is no one like him on earth, a wholesome and upright man who fears God and shuns evil. It's true he may not be equal in stature to other tzaddikim, but is that a reason not to respect him? Why does Rav Pam bring this on Parsha Shoftim, Enoch al Shofet, Asher Yabiyamimahim? The message of this insight into these from these psukim and Eov is extremely relevant for our times. It may be true that the sharp Yeridas Hadoros, every generation is different than another generation. We all have our own challenges, our own societal pressures, our own Yetzer Haras. Every generation is different than another. It's true that there's a sharp Yeridas Hadoros, a decline in spirituality in the past few decades. It has certainly reduced the level of Torah greatness of the Dayanim of the present generation as compared to, for example, pre-Holocaust Eastern Europe. Nevertheless, as Rashi says, Ein lecha ala shofet shebeyamecha. You only have the dying of your time. It is to him that a Jew must turn to justice. You don't have another leader. There is no one else. So maybe you're right. The Satan says, I haven't found anyone as righteous as Avram Avinu. He's trying to be mekatrig against Knesset Yisrael. But Hashem doesn't accept it. Why doesn't Hashem accept it? Because he says, okay, Avram's not alive. This is who we have. When I was preparing this year, I looked up the famous story of Rabbi Zusha Mianapoli. You know the famous story of Rabbi Zusha? Why are you smiling? Because you thought of it?
You said no interruptions.
No interruptions. Okay. One second. Where did I put it for myself so I could read it to you? It's a very famous story of Rabbi Zusha Mianapoli. There we go. Okay. Rabbi Zusha Mianapoli, it's so famous. I looked it up. It's not hard to find. I just wanted to get it right, but basically we all know the story. Okay. This it happens to be from Chabad.org by Rabbi Yisrael Pinson, P-I-N-S-O-N. He works with recovering addicts, like you will hear. Sometimes a message is conveyed better through a story. One of my favorite stories is the famous one of Rabbi Zusha Mianapoli, the brother of Rabbi Elimelech Lejins. You probably, like me and Joanna, all know the story, but this is what came to mind when I was preparing this shiur. Rabbi Zusha told the students, when I come to heaven and they ask me, why weren't you Avram, our forefather? I will answer, because I wasn't Avram. If they inquire, why didn't you match the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu? I will answer, I wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. Even if they try and compare me to my great brother, Rav Elimelech of Lejinks, I can say, I wasn't my brother Elimelech. However, if they ask me why I wasn't Zusha, to that I have no answer. I repeated the story recently. That's really the part I wanted to bring you. I thought the rest of it was very interesting, so I'm going to finish his piece. I repeated the story recently at one of our Jewish recovery meetings. We went around and different recovering addiction, shared the different messages they heard. One person shared that helped them. I don't have to try to be someone else. It's not who God wants me to be. Remember what the Rav says? You live in a time, place, community where your talents and abilities can best be maximized as a divine agent. If you lived in a different time, it would be Tznai She'ef Shalakaimo. You live in the community, in the place, the time and place in which each individual appears on earth is designated to allow them the best condition in which to fulfill his particular assignment. One recovering addict after this, Rabbi Yisrael Pinson shared this story, said, I don't even have to try and be someone else. It's not who God wants me to be. Another person said, besides not being someone else, this is very smart, I have to put effort into being me. When they asked Zusha, why weren't you Avram Avinu? He's going to say, well, I wasn't Avram Avinu. When they asked Zusha, why weren't you Moshe Rabbeinu? He's going to say, I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu. When they asked Zusha, why weren't you Rav Eli Melech of the Jinx? Because I'm not Eli Melech. When they asked Zusha, why weren't you Zusha? What will I answer? Another person says, besides not being someone else, I have to put effort into being me. The reason for that is, if I won't be me, who will? If God put me in this world, obviously it's because I can serve a unique purpose that no one else can. Similar to the Rav, and it's just a layperson, it's a recovering addict, not just a layperson. This brought up an interesting thought from a third person. I know the time, I am finishing the shir. If you have to leave, please catch it in the Vayu Torah. I am absolutely finishing the shir, Be'ezrat Hashem. This brought up an interesting thought from a third person, which was echoed by others at the meeting. Listen to this. My drinking did not stem from the fact that I wanted to be someone else. It stemmed from the fact that I didn't want to be me. My recovery started when I started being me without the barrier of alcohol and drugs. Okay, I have a kasha. I'm not the most learned person. I'm not a gadol. I do teach a fair amount and study a fair amount. And Baruch Hashem somehow managed to find time to listen to a fair amount of shir. I have my rabbanim, I have my gidei shir. I have a kasha I never thought of. Some of you know my son's friend Avram Myers, because I've quoted him in other shirim. He's the Avram Myers of the moving sidewalk and the airport mashal. So he was over for Shabbos. On Friday night at the table, he asked this question, and I was dumbstruck. Now, he did not. I wrote this year. Hashem wrote this year. With me is the shaliach. I'm going to ask you a question, and maybe I'm missing something. This is what Avram Ayers asked. He's in 11th grade. I don't know which yeshiva school he attends in Brooklyn. I even messaged him today. The reason I have his number in my phone is because sometimes if my son is with him and my son doesn't have his phone, he'll message me, hi, mom. Do you want a time on Avram's phone if you need me? So I messaged him today, hi, it's Mrs. Horowitz. Do you have an answer to the question he asked Friday night at the table? The reply was, I do not. Maybe you have an answer. This is not normal. Unless I'm missing something. I could be missing something. The whole shir still stands. And maybe just the last part of the shir you can answer for me. I'm not being facetious. I hope someone has an answer. My heart's really beating fast. If you could feel it, you would feel. Ela told us Noach. Perek Vav Pasuk Tes, Abereishis. Noach ish tzadik tamim haya b'dor asav. Es halukim, his halik Noach. Generally, when I talk about Noach, there's a lot of sources. He has a lot of failings. I think one of the most famous Rashi's on Chumash is about Noach. The Pasuk told you in the Pshat he's a tzadik. Ela told us Noach, these are the offsprings of Noach. Instead of telling you his children, it tells you what a great guy he is. First Rashi in Parshas Noach says, Iker todoshem sa tzadikim ma'isim hatovim. The Iker offspring, that's a terrible translation, the main progeny of a tzadik is not their biological children, it's their good deeds. The second Rashi to Parshas Noach, Ela told us Noach, I didn't translate the Pasach. These are the offspring of Noach. Noach was an ish tzaddik. He's a righteous man. Tamim haya. He was pure, complete, or whole. Bidor asav in his generation. As halokim is halich Noach. Noach walks with God. Rashi wants to know, why does the pasuk say bidor asav in his generation? You should just tell me he's a good guy. He walks with God. He's pure and he's tzaddik. So Hashem's going to save him. So I think this is one of the most famous Rashi's in all of Chumash. Rashi says, Yesh mi raboseinu darshim oso l'shavach. There are those who say it's a compliment of Noach. The Yesh, kol shekein, ilu haya bedar tzadikim, haya tzadik yoser. There are those who say it's a compliment of Noach. He's a tzadik. If he was in a different generation of tzadikim, he would be even more of a tzadik. Yesh darshim oso l'gnai. There are those who say a gnai is like an embarrassment, a disparagement. How do you say this word? Deprecation? deprecation. Am I saying it right? It's a gnai. It's a disparagement. It's an insult to Noach. Lefi doro haya tzadik. Ve'ilu haya bedarsha avram haya nechshav. What's the next word? Leklum. Who cares? Who cares? Parshas Noach, the Sedra opens by comparing Noach to a different generation. Why does it matter if he is or is not a tzaddik according to a different generation? This is a gevalda kasha. It's a big problem. I presented a whole entire shiur quoting the sources. Chumash, Rashi, Rav Hirsch, Rav Palm, the Gemara, Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Zusha Mianapoli. It doesn't matter which generation you live compared to another generation. You can only do your task in your door. This is mind-blowing. Do you have an answer? Am I missing something? What kind of Rashi is this? Wait, no. Rashi is quoting Medrash Tanchuma and Bereishis Rabbah. It's one of the most famous Rashis in the Chumash. The only difference is that all other sources are talking about comparing to a past generation, and by Noach we're talking about comparing to a future generation. But you can't compare him to a past generation, because he's 10 generations from Adam. Who are you going to compare him to? Adam who sinned? Cain who's a murderer? The eight in between who got lost became Ovdei Kochavim? No, you can't interrupt yet. What kind of Rashi is this? Yesh mi rabosei shedarshim l'shevach. Bedoro hayat tzadik ilu hayat bedoro acher hayat tzadik yoser. Even that Rashi's not a compliment. Why are you telling me in a different generation you would be more of a tzaddik? It doesn't matter. He's not in a different generation. V'yesha darshim osu l'gnai. And there are those who darshim, who expound it for disparagement, a deprecation, am I saying the word right? An insult. V'doro tzaddik. If he would have been 10 doros later in the generation of Avram, he would have been considered like nothing. Who cares? That's the leader you have in this time. It doesn't matter what generation he would have lived in. Why is that even a discussion? So obviously Avraham Myers, who's in 11th grade, did not give this whole shiur with any of these sources. But when he says this, first of all, we just quoted that piece by the Rav last week. And second of all, I referenced Shoftim and Kisavo last week. I said, oh my gosh, I just discussed this. He says, the question is, I think the Rabbi asked this. I said, hi, it's Ms. Hertz, you have an answer. I do not. Shkoyach, that doesn't help me. What a gevalda de kasha. I don't understand. He's sitting at the table and he says, there's like a ben bias by us, and he says, he's the moving sidewalk Avram Myers, and he says, who cares what generation he's living in? I'm thinking, oh my gosh, who cares how Noach is compared to any other generation, before, after, I don't care. This is when he lives. This is when God put him in. He's the leader of this generation. What are you telling me? If he would have been in Avram's time, then all the people in his generation would have been put into the world 10 generations later. They wouldn't have been in Noach's generation. I am quoting the Rav again. I told you, you have to remember every word of every source. Rav Hirsch, the Rashis, Rav Palm, the Gemara. Since man was created in the image of God and is likened to the sender being God, he is compelled to accept the assignment despite his feeble capabilities and temporal nature. So you could say Noah had feeble capabilities and a temporal nature. But it doesn't matter. That's when God put him to be the leader. In order to better direct our individual talents and strengths towards carrying out our assignments, we are predestined to live in a specific time and a specific place. So you could say, oh, Michal, she's kind of good, she's kind of not good. But if she would have been in a different generation, some say she would have been more of a tzaddikus. If she had been in a different generation, some say she would have been way less and she would have been nothing. It has nothing to do with the price of tea in China or the price of water in the marble. I don't live in a different generation. When I get up to Shemayim, they're not going to say, why were you Zusha? Why were you Abeli Melech? Why were you Moshe? Why were you Noach? Why were you Avim? They're going to say, and it's Taka, good question, why were you Michal Horowitz? Why are you even talking about a different generation? Hashem knows under which circumstances, at what time, in which community, one will have the ability to accomplish his assignment. If the assignment were impossible to accomplish, the appointment would be classified as an imposition of Tnai Sheyev Shavakaimu, and the appointment would be legally invalid. But if God appoints an agent, the agent by definition has been endowed with the ability to carry out his assigned capacity. Noach's assigned capacity was build an ark. He built an ark. Why are you comparing him to Abraham? If God wanted him to be Abraham, he would have put him 10 generations later. The time and place
in which each individual appears on earth is designated to allow him the best conditions in which to fulfill his particular assignment. Ein ochala shofet should be a mecha. Ein ochala calling should be a mecha. Eo told us, Noach, Noach is sadik tamim haya bedo rasav. Yesh mi rabbeseinu darshim osu l'shavach. Even that part of the Rashi doesn't make sense. Kol shekein ilu haya bedar tzadikim haya tzadik yoser. If he was in a different generation with righteous, he would have been even more righteous. V'yesh darsim oso lagnai. And there are those who say, no, it's an insult to Noach. L'fi doro haya tzadik ilu haya bedar sha'avram lo haya nechshav l'klum. Why is Noach compared to any other generation, whether for the good, l'shavach, or for the gnai? Noach lived when he needed to live. Noach had the best capability, talents, and abilities to carry out his assignment. He built an ark for 120 years. He saved the animals that God told him to save. He took his family. He repopulated the earth. That's when he lived. That was his ability. You have to accept whatever Rav Shamsher and Frohl Hirsch say. The leaders that you have are the leaders that you have. He was a leader of that time. In every generation, one must accept the authority of the eminent Torah leader qualified by their knowledge and fear of God. Noah had knowledge and fear of God. He was fine. He wasn't a tzaddik. No, he was. Fine. He wasn't, I don't know. I don't even want to compare him to anyone. But he was kosher. And he was not tarnished by sin. Remember I told you you have to remember everything I prepared? He wasn't tarnished by sin. Everyone else is doing arayas, sexual immorality, avodah zarah, and chamas, gezel, stealing. He's not tarnished by sin. He's perfectly kosher. He clearly has fear of God because we're told three times, Vayas Noach, Kachol Asher Tzivo Oso Elokim, Kein Osa. And he has knowledge of God. And one must obey them, even if in intellectual and moral stature, they fall short of authorities of the past. The only Nekuda is that we're comparing Noach to the future, and here we're comparing our Rabbanim to the past. But still, he's kosher, he's free of sin, even if in intellectual and moral stature he falls short of somebody else, he has knowledge and fear of God. In generation, you have to accept the authority of the eminent Torah leader. That's what he says by Shoftim, and by Kisavo, we do not turn to the Kohen in respect to his individual personality. We turn to him in respect to his symbolic character as representative and servant of the sanctuary. Noach was symbolic and representative of the servant of God. He didn't transgress God's word. The character has been given to him by God from the moment of his birth. As long as he is kasher, which Noach clearly was, worthy of his character and not disqualified by sin, he fits all this criteria, we turn to him as a representative of God's sanctuary in our midst. Thus, the expression, Asher Yeh B'yamim Ha'im. And it's interesting that the Satan, Mama says, there's no one like Avram Avinu. Who cares in our generation if there's no one like Avram Avinu? Who said we have to be like Avram Avinu? Rav Zusha Mianipoli says, you don't have to be Avram, you don't have to be Moshe, you don't have to be Zusha, you don't have to be Rav Eli Machal Vizigs, you have to be you. So why does Noach have to be Avram? And why is Noach, one of the most famous Rashi's in Chumash, compared to different generations, whether it's for Shavach, or for Gnai? Jody Kofsky from Sydney, Australia. Oh my God, the question, 4! So here's the Tayrates. I don't have one. So I wrote the whole shir. Obviously, Avram Myers did not say the shir at the table. He just asked the kasha. And I'm like blown out of the water, no pun intended, with Parshas Noach. What a gival de kasha. I think he said his rabbi. So I said, so what's the answer? He says, I don't know. First of all, okay, I'm not the most learned person, far from it. But I do learn a fair amount, and I prepare, Baruch Hashem, an extraordinary amount of shiurim. And I listen to shiurim when I drive, when I fast, and Baruch Hashem, I read a lot of Divrei Torah. What's going on? Yes?
I have a question. I'm not trying to answer necessarily.
Wait.
I have a question.
Okay.
Didn't we learn that part of Noah's was to help the people of the generation.
Yes, and I give a shear on that, yes. But Lamaisa, that's part of his disparagement. Put that aside. So then I could bring you the Rashi that says for 120 years he built the Teva. Harbei Revach Vatzal Lefanav. Rashi says God has many ways of saving Noah. Why did he make them build the Teva? So when people ask, no, say God is going to bring them Abba. That's a whole other shear. I spoke about it in a different venue last week. I'm in the midst. I've been working on it for like 3-4 hours already, putting it all together. That's not related to this. Yes?
The only other difference that I can think of is that
The only thing you could think?
The only other difference that I can think of
is what?
Other than that Noach scene compared to a future generation is actually based on a Tzvart Torah that I've seen in two places. One was on Froome's Twitter, and the other one that was, I heard in the name of Rav Ephraim Goldberg, was that the Rashi that you quoted for Parshas Noach.
Yeah.
Was that Rabotinu looking at
him? I know. I said that last week. I said that in a different shiur.
No,
it still doesn't take away the kasha.
No,
then the rabbis are comparing to a different generation. It's a famous verse. Yesh mei rabosein shadarshim l'shevach v'yesh shadarshim l'so l'gnai. It's the rabbis who praise him and those who say the disparagement. It doesn't take away the kasha. Why are the rabbis comparing him to any other generation? They are saying if he would have been in a different generation, he would have been even more righteous. Don't tell me about when he would be in a different generation. I don't care if it's the rabboseinu or the guy in the shuk who's talking Lashon Hara. Don't compare him to any other door, whether for good or not, shevach or gnai, earlier or later. This is when he lived.
But I think when it's coming from the teachers, then it's their responsibility rather than when it's coming from the layperson saying the issues with...
No. Why are the teachers... Imagine if my rabbanim said to me, Michal Arts, how could you have this kasha on the challah? Sara Schneer would never have had this kasha. Who cares about Sara Schneer? I live today. This is my shaiva. I know that Vard, it doesn't address or answer the kasha.
Maybe he had the potential. Maybe the reason that they're in the beginning calling him tzaddik, tam, whatever.
Yeah.
Because he had the capacity to fulfill a tzaddik.
That's a different shear. That's my shear comparing him to Moshe. I spoke about an hour last week. I worked on it for 5 hours at home. I hope I presented by Parsha Shmos, Bleenator. It's a different shear. It's a different shear. Don't tell me he's compared to any other door.
It doesn't discount the shear you gave.
That's the point. That's my point. Okay, this shear is concluded. If anyone listening on YU Torah, it's going to be posted. Maybe because he was carrying the seeds for the future generation. Naomi Rubin, I hold you in the highest respect. Everyone is carrying the seeds for the future generation. So is Reb Zusha Mianapoli. So is Moshe Rabbeinu. And so is Avram Avinu. You're still not responsible to be like someone in a different door. We are all, every person here, is carrying the seeds of the future generation. So if I get to Shemayim, they're going to ask me why I'm not Sar Shneer. I'm going to be in very big trouble. Why am I not Sar Shneer? Why wasn't I Hendi Machas? Who cares?
Maybe it's not a commentary on Noach. Maybe it's a commentary on the generation.
It talks about Noach being in a different door.
Right, if he was in a door of better people, people who weren't over and all those terrible things, then he would have been able to affect them better. Maybe it talks about the door. Maybe the indication is not a reflection on Noach. It's a reflection on the door.
And then what about the Gnai? So why not say then the people should have been different? If you want to tell me about the people, then tell me the people should have been different, right? Specifically, it compares them to a different door, but are we supposed to be comparing ourselves to a different door? Then God wouldn't have put me in this door. Then tell me if the people would have been in a different door, they would have listened to him. Ilu Haya Bidor, if he would have been in a different generation, but he wasn't in a different
then
generation.
He would have been able to become the Noach that he was meant to be and fulfill his
time. And then what do you do with Ilu Haya Bidor Sha'avram Haya Nechshav Leklum? Who cares? Who cares? Why are you comparing him to Abraham? He's not Avram. Okay, this year should be an Aliyah Neshama. She should beg Asri Bonshom to enlighten us. Vahari Inenu Besar Secha V'Davit Libeinu B'Mitzvah Secha. Should be an Aliyah Neshama for Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak Allah HaShalom. And the merit of the Torah Neshama should have a Zchus Aliyah. Okay, thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov, Laila Tov.